But this time, before I speak, the passage I use is rather a longer passage. And so I thought today that I would get some help. And so Nikki Wilson, she's part of our board, leadership here at our church. And so she's going to come and she's going to read the portion of scripture here this morning. And that's going to be in some Psalm 107.
Morning, Pastor. Morning, church. I'm of the age now where I'm wearing reading glasses. Okay, so here's the Lord's reading from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love, for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labor. They fell and no one was there to help them. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. He let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food. And they were knocking on death's door. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Some went off to the sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. He changes rivers into deserts and springs of water into dry, thirsty land. He turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of water and dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. They sow their fields, plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them. They raise families there, and their herds of livestock increase. When they decrease in number and become impoverished, through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt on their princes, causing them to wander in trackless wastelands. But he rescues the poor from trouble. and increases their families like flocks of sheep. The godly will see these things and be glad, while the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord.
Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate that. That technically gives me longer time to preach because that's not part of my preaching, right? Because someone else is doing that. But anyway, take that this psalm to heart because we want to look at this whole psalm today and kind of take pieces out of the whole psalm as we go along. But what I want to do this morning, I want to share with you about experiencing the God of wonders. And I hope you're catching that as the scriptures were being read of what God has done and what God is doing. And we serve an awesome and wonderful God. And I really sense he desires to lead us into a season of wonders. Now, why I say that is on our prayer night on Wednesday night, we always have a time of sharing, and that kind of turned into a lot of sharing. But that was okay because some testimonies came out of that, and some of the stories they were sharing were quite amazing, and they certainly served to encourage others who were facing some struggles. And we also took time, and as we share, we also take time to pray and to bring requests of prayer. And some of those needs are really, really big needs. And as we were praying and just focusing on some of those needs, and different people were leading out in prayer, I just kind of felt this word coming to me, wonder. You know, sometimes when you hear something from the Lord, some people hear, you know, a big, long statement. Most times for me, it's very short and concise. And that's what I wonder. And so as we were praying there, I continued to ask the Lord, well, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through this area of wonder? And as we were doing that, I really just felt the Lord began to say to me that what you're hearing today are wonders, but I'm going to do far more wonders. You're going to see far greater and far more often wonders done by the Lord. There's going to be a multiplication of wonders. And I was going to share that with our group that night, but we kind of started a little bit late, and as we were praying, and everyone was in there praying pretty good, and then all of a sudden the kids are all coming out from youth and kids, and so we had to kind of conclude our evening. So I didn't get to share with everyone that evening of what I was sensing the Lord say to us. And so I kind of felt, well, I think this is a good thing to share about on a Sunday. And so friends, you know, this is something that God is wanting to do. He is wanting to display his wonders, and I really believe that God is going to display wonders even more. And, you know, as you look to the scriptures, we see that wonders are supposed to be displayed. Even as we come in the last days, the Bible says, there's going to be wonders that you will see. Acts 2 talks about that. That's just one of many, but it says, Acts 2 verse 17 says, in the last day, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. It goes on to say, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arise. So it's telling us that we should be expecting to see wonders. Wonders in the heavens, wonders on the earth that are going to cause us to be in awe of God and cause us to look to the Lord and to see many people come to faith in Christ. You may be saying, well, what's a wonder? Well, a wonder, these are just dictionary definitions here. A wonder is something that will cause astonishment, admiration, awe, or marvel. Another definition is a wonder is an astonishment at something awesomely mysterious or new to one's experience. One I like probably the best of this is a wonder is an amazement beyond anything previously known or anticipated. Then a very short definition of wonder is a miracle. And I really believe that God has some wonderful signs and wonders for us to experience and see, from changed lives to salvations to healings or interventions to testimonies, miracles, signs on the earth and signs in the heaven. And I know this past year we've already been seeing a lot of really neat signs in the heavens, probably more than any other time, seeing the northern lights and going from coast to coast, where everybody across the whole nation got to see them. But what I really sense that God is declaring over us as a church and over our area is that God is going to be displaying more wonders among us, and that we're to get ready to see more wonders, and that this is the season for wonders to abound and for wonders to surprise us. Now, looking at the scriptures, there have been times throughout the recording of scripture that tell us of marvelous and wonderful deeds of the Lord. And as we come to Psalm 107, it's kind of a psalm that kind of throws them all in together and mentions a whole lot of different areas, a whole lot of different things that took place and that happened to encourage us and to encourage us to cry out to God, to have faith in God. That if we're in need of a wonder, maybe you're here today and you're going through some struggles and you're needing a wonder to happen, something that's out of the ordinary, something that's not expected, something that's impossible in the natural, well, we're in the right place because our God is a God of wonder. So this morning, I just want to use this psalm, and I know it's a long psalm, and I'm not going to get in too far great detail, but I just want to highlight some of the things that are in there as it talks about the various things that God is wanting to do to show wonders among us. And the first area where God is wanting us to experience wonders is the area of redemption, to redeem us. Psalm 107:2 says, "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others that he's redeemed you from your enemies." Now, to redeem means to save one from their errors, to save one from their mistakes, to save one from slavery or bondage, of failures or sin. To redeem means to buy back ownership. And maybe that's where some of you may have been, or maybe some of you may be there even today, where you feel that you are in bondage to something, that something has happened in your life or where you are in your life presently that you feel that you're in bondage. Well, there are many ways that we can be bondage, physically, spiritually, mentally, all kinds of areas where bondages can happen. And here in the Bible, it tells us that our God is a God who wants to redeem us from all of those things. And, you know, all of us here have made mistakes in our lives. Some of us may have suffered from those mistakes. Maybe some of us are still suffering from those mistakes. Maybe there's some people that you've sold yourself to ungodly actions and behaviors. Maybe you've sold yourself out to addictions and feel that you're enslaved now and that there's no way out. Maybe you've even gone as far as that you sold yourself to the devil. You know, sometimes we all can make poor decisions, sometimes worse than others, but I think we're all guilty where we've all made some poor decisions in our lives. And sometimes our lifestyles, we begin to live lifestyles that are toxic, that were harmful to ourselves and harmful to others. And when we get in those kinds of lifestyles, it can get to a place where we feel that, you know, we are trapped and that there's no way out. And the enemy of our soul, of course, that's what he wants you to believe, that there is no way out. Now, verses 3 to 7 of this psalm, it talks about some different circumstances where the people of Israel needed to be redeemed. There was a literal exile. They were taken from one country to live in another country. There was bondage. They were put in bondage. Some of them that escaped exile only to find themselves in the wilderness, lost, homeless, with nowhere to go. Some people were starving because there was little food or water, and they lived near the edge of death every day. But you know, those verses can be describing many of us today, or our situations today. Maybe we're feeling the same way. Maybe we're feeling that we've been exiled from family. Maybe we're feeling that we've been bound. Maybe we've been feeling that we've been hurt, or that we're lonely, or we're lost. Or maybe you're feeling that you're in a wilderness experience. Maybe even feeling that you're homeless or close to it. For some others, that maybe it's you've been trapped in your past and feeling like, I don't know if I'm ever get free of my past. But one day, as the Bible says here, these people, all feeling those same things, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. And that goes for us today, that when we find ourselves in those kinds of situations, that we can cry out to the Lord and say, God, I need your help. And he will come and he will help us. You know, you may have thought that you would be bound forever, or that, you know, this is my lot in life and that nothing's going to change. And you need to realize that the God of wonders does have different plans for you. In your distress, we need to learn to cry out. When we get to that place where we've had enough and we begin to weep and we're crying and we cry out to God, God wants to see that from us. He wants to see that we're serious about a change to take place in our lives. And this is what the people did. You'll see these verses repeated over and over and over again in this psalm. The first repetition of this is found in verses 6 and 7. It says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. And verse 9 says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. As we cry out to God for help, rescue missions start to happen. And rescue missions, I believe, are on the way for you, where maybe you have felt yourself that maybe you felt in bondage, or maybe you felt that you're in a place where there is no hope anymore. And God is saying, no, I have a rescue mission planned for you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to change things for you. I'm going to give you hope for you. I'm going to change those circumstances. I'm going to break you free from those bondages and buy you back from all those things where maybe you've gotten yourself in trouble. So if you've been to a place where your hope is gone, God's saying your hope is going to be renewed. Where there's been fear, God's going to take away that fear and again give you hope. He's going to take away that fear and give you feelings of safety, because maybe you're in a place today you don't feel safe anymore. And God's going to come along and bring you to a place where you're going to feel safe again. Maybe you feel that you've been enslaved in a certain area in your life. Well, God's going to come and pay your ransom, buy you back, and set you free. When you are hungry or thirsty, or in a land of not enough, God wants to bring you to a place of more than enough. Where there's no place to call home. Maybe you're in a place right now, you're not in a home, you're looking for a place to live. God can restore and give you a new place to call home and even a new family. So we serve a God who redeems our past. No matter how bad it has been, he can bring us to that place where we experience his love and his goodness and his blessings upon us. We sang that a little while ago, the goodness of God. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. He wants us to experience his goodness. So he will redeem us. He'll redeem us from our past. He will redeem us from our mistakes and our bondages that we're facing, and perform a wonder for you that you weren't expecting. Then secondly, experiencing this God of wonders, God wants to bring us freedom. Psalm 107, 10 and 11. says some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. So the nation of Israel, unfortunately, because of their disobedience against God, there's always consequences. And that's something we need to remember. There's always consequences to disobedience. There's always consequences to bad choices. And these folks were experiencing that. For the people of Israel, there was deportation, there was imprisonment, there was slavery, there was hard labor, there was hunger, there was misery. You know, sometimes we ourselves can get to that place where we scorn what God says. We don't want to have anything to do with God, or we want to go our own ways, and so we do that. Well, as we do that, we also find out very quickly that you will also reap the consequences. You don't get to choose your consequences. They will automatically happen when we go down various roads that are not good for us. And so we certainly don't want to go to that place. You know, and I know for a lot of people, they go down those roads because they think, or they heard it say, well, that's true freedom. And unfortunately, they get to find out that it's not freedom, it's bondage. And it will bring you to a place of bondage instead of freedom. So when you go down those roads of life, you go down those wrong roads, you can feel the darkness starts to creep in. You can feel the glooms and the despair starts to come in. You can feel the hopelessness that starts to come in. And if you go too far in some areas of addiction, there can feel like there's an imprisonment. There's being bound because of those choices. And then we feel trapped and no way out. But you need to realize that our God of wonders wants to write a different story about our lives. He wants to bring us back to a place of new freedom. And if we would just simply cry out to God once again, a wonder can start taking place in your life and hope can arise once again. Look at verses 14 and 16. It says, he led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains, for he broke down their prison gates of bronze, and he cut apart their bars of iron. You know, sometimes you can look in the natural where you may be bound, and you can probably see that in reality there is no escape in the natural. But that's not how God operates, because the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too difficult for her God. And our God can come in those situations and literally bring us out of darkness, bring us out of despair, bring us out of the gloom. And if we feel chained, he can come along and he can break the chains. He can cut apart those prison bars that we may look at that it's impossible to break free. And God is saying, with me, all things are possible. I can break you free from these bars of iron. And so maybe you're in a situation or have been in a situation where you've been feeling that there is no escape, that it's done, it's over with for you. And you need to remember today that God is wanting to extend to you a wonder. He wants to show you that he truly is the God of wonders. He's truly the God that desires to bless us, to help us, to encourage us. And he breaks prison bars. He breaks chains that bind. And he brings us back into a new freedom in our lives. And so if you're feeling trapped today, if you're feeling like there's no way out, you're believing a lie is what you're believing, because there is a way out. And you're in the right place, because God is here and God desires to break those chains and to bring you into a whole new freedom. So our God of wonders is a God of freedom. And he wants us to experience freedom in our lives. So whatever area of your life, or maybe you're feeling hindered or you're chained or you're in a prison, you feel you're in a prison or you're in a despair, you're in a depression, you're in gloom, you're in misery, God wants to take care of that. I was thinking of an old course here. Probably a lot of you don't even remember it, but it was a little course where you say, you won't leave here like you came, bound or pressed, tormented, sick, or lame. And that's what God wants to do, literally. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to leave this place the same way that you came in. He wants to break those chains. He wants to, areas where we've been bound, to unbind us and to set us free. And he can. God can, because he is God. He's a God of wonders, and he wants to show us wonders to each and every one of us and bring us new freedom. Thirdly, God, a God of wonder, wants to save us from rebellion and the result of rebellion. Sometimes, you know, we think God won't forgive us because of our rebellion, because we did things that we knew were wrong, and yet we kind of did them anyway, and we kind of had a defiant attitude as we did that. But then sometimes when we come to our senses later, sometimes the devil will fool you and think, oh, because you knew better, God will not forgive you. But that's not who he is. He is a God that does forgive rebellion. Psalm 107:17 says, some were fools. They rebelled and they suffered for their sins. Again, you'll see that a lot in the scriptures. There are consequences to our sin. There are consequences to our rebellion. There are consequences when we walk away from God. There really is. And so we need to be careful of that. Those are not good roads. And if we don't repent of our rebellion, then something happens. You start slowly to get dissatisfied. Slowly you start to get to a place where you become a miserable person. Unforgiving people usually are people who are very miserable. And you don't want to be there. God wants to lead you to a better road. He wants to lead you to a road where there's health and strength. Because those roads that we sometimes go on with rebellion, not only do they lead you to a place of misery, usually following right close to that is sickness. And then following close to that sickness is a desire that you don't even want to eat anymore. You would just rather die. That's not a good choice. So bad choices can have severe consequences. Whether it's depression or misery, whether it's sickness, whether it's a life-threatening death. And, you know, when God gives us instructions in the Word, it's not to hinder us. It's not to control us. He's just trying to tell us that, look, this is the way you have been designed. This is the way the world has been designed. And so God tells us that there's certain things that we shouldn't be doing. But if we want to not listen to God and do our own thing, you can think of how many diseases that are out there today in our bodies because we choose to do things that God says don't do. Now, some say, see, that's God's judgment. No, it's not his judgment. It's that simply it's your body responding to something that you're doing when you're not taking care of your body. God's trying to help you out. He's trying to say, don't do these things because there's a bad consequence. He's trying to help us. And so again, he's not giving his instructions in the Word to control us. He's giving those instructions to help us because he wants good things for each and every one of us. Rebellion is a terrible thing. The Bible says it's like the sin of witchcraft. And so that's why it talks about some were foolish. Some went down that foolish path and thought that rebellion was a better way. But once again, as you read this psalm, it comes to that part of scripture that's repeated, I think it's 4 or 5 times. It says, call out to him in trouble. It's call out to him in trouble. And as they do that, as the people called out to him and they sought forgiveness, it's interesting how God responded in that area of rebellion. Verse 20 is his response. It says, God sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. So what God does when we repent of our rebellion, he brings forgiveness. He brings mercy. And literally, he brings healing in our lives. He can bring healing and restoration in our lives. Even though in the natural we may not deserve it, God is famous for doing that to bring healing back into our lives. He's a God of wonders. He heals, he forgives, he extends mercy, and he can do that today for each and every one of us, no matter what our situation might be. I'm thankful that we serve a God who can forgive and heal our past, heal our bodies. He's a God who can heal all diseases and even save us from certain death. Yes, our condition might be because of our own fault. But if we will sincerely cry out to God, God can turn that thing around and create a wonder where you can be healed, restored, forgiven. And friend, that's who our God is. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do wonders among us. Then fourthly, experiencing our God of wonders, God desires to calm our storms of life. Verses 23, 24 say, some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power and action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. And this illustration refers to sailors on the high seas. And it's a dangerous place to be. You know, if you do some YouTube stuff, just put, big seas, big waves, and the things that you'll see there. Quite amazing how large waves can really be, and the destruction that waves can do, and the storms and the power storms. We don't have any seas close by here, but we do have some lakes. And if you've ever been on the lake and a storm came up and you're trying to get back because you know it's not good. And sometimes for some people, they can't get back and they got to go find shelter until the storm passes. Well, sometimes in life we go through storms. Sometimes they're small storms and sometimes they're big storms. And when you go through a big storm, you come to a realization really quickly that in the natural, there's not a whole lot you can do. There's things you can do, but really it's a feeble effort. Just like on the high seas for those sailors, when there was a huge storm and huge waves, they could lighten the ship and they could throw ropes underneath and trying to make it stronger. They could throw cargo. But after all of that, the storm was still there. They were at the mercy of the storm. And sometimes that can describe us in life as well, that we go through storms where they just seem to be so big that we kind of get to that place and think, I don't know what else to do. And we get scared. And if it's really, really big, we can even get to that place where we're terrified. And God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us to be terrified. He wants to come and cause a wonder among you. You know, we can think in the Bible the story of Jesus and the disciples out in the Lake of Galilee, and where a storm could suddenly come up. And they were fishermen. And the Bible says they were terrified. They cried to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? In a moment, he created a wonder. All of a sudden, the wind ceased, stopped, and the waters were calm. Totally impossible in the natural. But that's what God can do. There may be things where you're at today that you're going through a storm of life where you're thinking, there's nothing in the natural anybody can do. Well, you're in a good place because there's a God who can do those things that nobody else can do. He's a God that can do wonders. And if we will cry out to him, the Lord will respond. Verses 29 to 30 says, he calmed the storm to a whisper. He stilled the waves. What a blessing that stillness was as he brought them safely into harbor. There's been a few of our people that have been in tornadoes, and that is not a good thing. It's not a desire for me to be in any one of those. That can bring a lot of terror. There's absolutely nothing you can do to stop that except to pray. Prayer is always a good thing. But, you know, sometimes it's the noise of the storm that scares us more than the actual storm. And maybe today you're in a place where there's a whole lot of noise, and it's really scaring you, and it's bringing you to a place where maybe you might even be terrified. Well, this God of wonder says, I want to bring a stillness to your storm. I want to bring that storm down to a whisper. I want to still those waves, and I want to bring you to a place where you feel safe again. Maybe you're here today and you're not feeling all that safe. Well, God is saying, I want to bring you back to a place where you do feel safe. See, he's the God that can calm the roughest seas. He's the God that can handle the biggest storms and bring a stillness and a peace that no one else can bring. He's a God of wonders. He's a God of peace. He brings peace in the midst of our storm. Then lastly, experiencing the God of wonders, God wants to bless us. He wants to give us good things, even if we don't deserve it, because he's a good father. You know, we as children growing up, or if you're a child in here today, a teenager today, and you know, sometimes you do some pretty bad things, and you don't deserve anything after that. But what do your parents do? They bless you anyway, because they're good parents, and they love you, and they care about you. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. Verses 33, 35 says, he changes rivers into deserts, springs of water into dry, thirsty land. That's when there's disobedience. He turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of water and dry land into springs of water. There can be blessings that you experience from God, or there can be judgments that you can experience from God. God desires to give you blessings. That's what he desires. And if you will notice, as you read those passages of scriptures, you know, when wickedness abounds, the earth responds. Rivers dry up, lakes disappear, land becomes unproductive. And yet, at the same time, God can turn that totally around. If you looked at the history of Israel and saw how much land that was there that was unproductive because of all the years of sin and the tragedies and wars and all those things. And yet if you went over there today, you would say many of that pieces of land into beautiful farms, beautiful crops, and a prosperity that is happening there that is amazing. Well, God can do that. God can change any country and turn it around. And that's what he does, because he desires to bless. And as you think about that, you know, we've been seeing that even in our news of late, where all of a sudden there's lakes in the middle of deserts, where unproductive land is suddenly becoming productive. Some lands are getting rain. Yes, there's disasters happening out there as well, but there's also some really good things that are taking place. God's desire in all that is to bless. That's what he wants to do. It goes on to say that God will even intervene when leaders go beyond their boundaries, oppressing people and bringing sorrow and trouble on the land. God will judge them. God will bring them down. However, God always gives an opportunity to repent and to change their ways. And I believe we're there. As we look at some of the nations of our world right now, I believe God is dealing with a lot of leaders in our nations right now. He's given them a time to repent and to change their ways. But if they do not, then they will be removed and brought down. Because God says, I want to rescue my people. There's a lot of innocent people during all these kinds of things that suffer consequences that are not their own. And God says, I want to rescue the people. He wants to bring joy and gladness in our lives. He wants to bring a prosperity back into our lives. And I believe we're going to be seeing some turnarounds in governments. And the wicked are going to stand in a place of silence because they have plans to destroy. And they're going to suddenly be in a place of silence wondering, what happened? How did things get turned around so quickly? And even we ourselves, I think we're going to be standing in awe when, how did things get turned around that quick? Because from what I can see in the natural, this is where we're going. God can turn that around even in a moment for the nations. Now, maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know if I really agree with you that God is going to do wonders in our midst and wonders in our world. Listen to what it says at the closing of this psalm. Verse 43. It says, those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. History has already recorded incidences of God's wonders happening throughout the years. Even as we read the Bible, we see of centuries as the Bible has been written, you see of various things and wonders that God has done. And so the Bible is reminding us, look, it has happened before. Wonders have happened before. It will happen again. So don't give up on a God of wonder, because he still does great wonders. And I really believe they're going to increase. I really believe that. As we were praying that on Wednesday, that's how I was just feeling the Lord pouring in. You're going to see some awesome wonders. You're seeing some here, but there's going to be far greater ones that you're going to see. And so as we come to a close here this morning, I hope this has encouraged you in some way to have faith in our God of wonders. There is nothing he cannot do. He is the God of the impossible. That's who he is. So whatever trial or storm, hopelessness or prison or disaster, maybe that you're facing today, know that you serve a God of wonders, and he desires to bless us with wonders that are going to surprise us and cause us to be aware of him in greater ways. I often say to the Lord, I say, Lord, I welcome your surprises. I like being surprised by God. And God's going to do that. You know, our messes, our problems, our addictions, our situations can all be changed in a moment as he begins to move across our land and moves upon us as people. Great wonders are going to happen in increasing measure. God has done it in the past. He's going to do it again. Especially as we already read in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, there's going to be wonders that are going to take place. And it's to cause us, or to cause people, to have faith in God. And as we cry out to God, he will respond. Verse 6, going back there, it's repeated four times, if not five. It says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. Are you in distress today? The God of wonders can help you and rescue you from that distress. But then there's another response that's here. I don't know if you picked it up as we were going through the Psalms. Verse 8, again, it's repeated numbers of times throughout the Psalm. It says, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. See, we're to respond. We're to respond and we're to give thanks for what God has done. Go out and tell it. Go and tell the world what the Lord has done for you. Go and tell the world of the wonders that God has done in your life, of what he's brought you from and where he's taken you to, that they might have hope, that they might be encouraged, that they may come away and come out of agreement with the lies that they've been believing, that they might come to a place of hope and of joy. We serve a God of wonders, and he wants us to experience fresh wonders. I really believe they're going to happen. I just felt that in my spirit as we were praying there on Wednesday, and just felt to share that with you today. Get ready to see wonders. Get ready to see the intervention of God in ways that you didn't even think were possible. Get ready to be surprised by God. And if you're finding yourself maybe in one of these other areas where we were talking about that you're discouraged, you're down, you're feeling like you're trapped, you're feeling there's no way out, he's the God that can intervene and turn that situation totally around.